Welcome to Influential Entrepreneurs, bringing you interviews with elite business leaders and experts, sharing tips and strategies for elevating your business to the next level. Here's your host, Mike Saunders.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Influential Entrepreneurs. This is Mike Saunders, the Authority Positioning Coach. Today we have back with us Jay Weinstein, who's the founder of Deep Dive Retirement, and we'll be talking about potential retirement pitfalls. Jay, welcome back to the program.
Well, thank you for having me, Mike. Appreciate it.
You are welcome. And so obviously, we all hopefully feel like one day we can retire. You know, there's that. And we also know that it'll come sooner than we expect and we need to make some plans. Well, we certainly don't want to hit pitfalls. So get us a little bit of an overview on what some of these pitfalls could be.
Well, you know, it depends on the situation for each individual, where they're at. Do they have family wealth? You know, are they working and saving and trying to build up assets to be able to retire on? You know, and it really depends on an individual basis. But the core thing is that we have a lot of things to combat. We have a lot of things that we need to consider as hurdles and that we need to overcome those hurdles. Like, for example, taxes. For most people, they have a lot of money in qualified plans pre-tax, and they're going to be paying a lot of taxes for the rest of their life. We have inflation. You know, inflation has been very large this last year. The government's trying to fix that, but we have inflation and we see that that is going to have an effect on our ability to earn or spend money and how much money we'll need to live. We have medical. We have the market's ups and downs. Are we going to be able to draw income from our money safely for a long period of time? So there's many, many different things that need to be looked at and evaluated as you prepare your money and as you prepare for a successful retirement.
Yeah, and it's like you said, it's different for everybody. It's not a cookie cutter. You know, here's the template, follow this, and you'll be just good to go, because everyone's situation is different.
That's
their background, their needs and desires for what they want retirement to look like. So, some of those points that you mentioned is going to be addressed differently for one person than the other. So that's one thing just to keep in mind. But what about some of the top missed concepts that people should be thinking about that maybe they don't even know until they're brought to their attention? Like, oh, here's a missed concept. What would some of those look like?
Yeah, that's a great question. And from an overview, you know, I tend to look at things in a large picture first and then dive down, a deep dive, if you will, into the specifics. But the main thing that I think is missing for many, many millions of people is to really prepare themselves on two levels. One is to make sure that their monthly income is really strong and can't changed or taken away from them in any way, shape, or form. In other words, to really build something that gives them their nut, if you will, your living expenses, your food, your travel, if you still have a mortgage or not, whatever it is you need to live on, and to have that really dialed in. Using securities may not be the best answer for that, because we're dealing with the ups and downs and many other factors. Once you have So that would be phase one. Once you have that really built in and dialed in, that is very strong, then take whatever extra monies you have and invest it any way you like. Small businesses, the stock market, buying real estate for appreciation, whatever it is, you are now more able to do that. But I think people are not, generally speaking, because I talk to hundreds of people a year, many hundreds of people, and they don't really have a plan for income first to establish that base. And I think that's what's missing in most plans.
That's a huge piece. When I hear the word income, I think cash flow. Like, you know, it's nice to look, pull up this retirement statement and see X number of dollars in X account, but is how much of that is coming to me each month? And that would be the income, the cash flow. And I think that's a big piece, because it's like, how are you going to pay the light bill? How are you going to put food on the table? You need to have some of that cash flowing to you.
That's correct. Very well said. The thing about it is, you know, when you retire, that by definition, it means you're giving up, you're quitting work, right? Your career, whatever it was. And And also your paycheck goes away, right? So you don't have that steady monthly paycheck that you did when you're working. That day that you call it quits, that's the point where we've got to make sure there's going to be lots of income. Remember, we're living longer and longer too. That's another factor that I didn't mention earlier is our longevity. Easily people are living into their late 80s and 90s. And, and are healthy, and so the other factor is how long will my money last? And that's a very, very big question that needs to be answered.
You know, I think that point or concept that we just mentioned about cash flow is kind of a mindset shift, because a lot of people think I just kind of punched the clock and I'm done and retired. And now there's this chunk of money sitting wherever, multiple places. So when I need some, I'll break off a piece by go getting it. And oop, that could create some tax liability. We got to make sure of that. But that cash flow is a mindset shift. You mentioned another mindset shift really just now, which is, it used to be, you retire at X age, you need money to last till Y age. Well, these days we're living to a lot longer. So we need to have, more money for longer. And then what about our lifestyle? Because we're living longer, we might want to travel a little more, be a little bit more active. So that must mean that we're going to need some more money. So talk a little bit more about mindset shifts. What are some other ones that people should be aware of?
Right. Very good point. There's plenty of them. I go down a list of things and probably too long for even this short call here. But there's, for example, let me name some things. There's a thing called IRMA, I-R-M-A-A. You can Google that. And that is a surcharge that the government puts on your Medicaid premium. That can quadruple the premiums you're paying for Medicare, which a lot of people don't even know about that. And they're getting letters now because they have too much income, the basic threshold of what that is, whether you're single or married. But if you're earning more money, including distributions from IRAs or capital gains or interest or pensions or Social Security, when you add all this up, it can easily put you over certain thresholds. And now you're going to have to pay more for Medicare. Well, there's ways to solve that. Repositioning of assets on your balance sheet, using Roth conversions and other types of ways to have the income, but not have it show up as taxable income on your tax return. Very important. There's taxation on Social Security. Many people don't realize at a very, very low level. It's similar to the IRMA situation, a little different, but they don't realize that because they have other investments and other things, they're going to wind up having their Social Security income taxed up to 85% of it will show up on their tax return as taxable income. All right. So those are two. You have, then just regular taxes, because most people, when they're working, they want that match at the corporation. And that's a topic I discuss with people. Is that match really, really worth it? It sounds like free money, but it's when you look at the whole picture, you're creating taxable income for the rest of your life, which boosts up your Social Security taxation, causes an IRMA problem. In other words, what I'm trying to say is that there's many, many factors that are interrelated. And what I see as the big problem, going back to the original, what is the issue I see, is that most people, and because investment advisors, good, bad, or indifferent, they're focusing on rate of return. But when you start to look at the whole picture, there's many interrelated factors that can cause you to lose money in the form of taxes and other fees and surcharges from the government that will really take away money that you should be keeping and holding on to. Very important to look at it from that standpoint.
Yeah, it really is, because you think, I've got this bucket of Social Security income, but if all of a sudden there's a big old hole in that bucket, which is if I'm going to have 85% of that income show up on my tax return as taxable, then that's more money that I should be paying out if I didn't have some of these strategies up front to kind of reposition. And that IRMA, that's first time I've heard that. That's interesting, because wow, if I can handle that up front, now I'm not going to pay more for the healthcare need that I need through Medicare, Medicaid. So
becomes a quagmire of different redirects and I hate to say it this way, I'm not criticizing anyone, but investment advisors and CPAs, I've never seen one that brings it up as a roadblock towards a successful retirement, and it's as real as the day is long.
Yeah, it's almost like, yeah, we know these common things, you know, save retirement and have money there. But some of these other things that really start chipping away, we understand, yeah, I should make sure that my tax situation is good. But Irma, that's unique. And making sure that my Social Security isn't taxed as much as it could be, that's an aha for a lot of people.
It really is. And I want to address another issue, because it has to do with longevity, but it also ties in with what I call the two percentages, and let me just discuss that briefly. The two percentages that should be looked at, of course, the first one is rate of return, and everybody knows they want to get a higher rate of return. And, but when you factor in all of these other elements, longevity and taxes and surcharges and fees, that will help you, but I built software to demonstrate it. It doesn't help you for a sustained retirement that will last, you know, for a long period of time, as much as people think it would. Rate of return, I'm talking about. The other percentage is percentage of payout, right? So if you have $100,000 or a million, whatever the figure is, a percentage of payout, we want to get you a higher percentage that you can receive as income. The plans that we can design now can get us into the 10% or 10 or 11 or 12% payout bracket. I want to be very clear. I'm not talking about 10 or 11 or 12% rate of return. I'm talking about the payout factor from your money. And that, under my analysis that I've done for many, many years, is a far more important percentage to look at. And that's what I urge people to start to think about more towards, is building up assets that will provide large scale or large payout percentage of income for the rest of their lives. Once you do that, and once you understand that concept, and I want to just get into the theory in a second. Once you understand that concept, that frees up other monies that you can do other things with more to your desire or likings in terms of where you want to invest it and that kind of thing. Is that clear for the listeners, do you think?
I do. Like rate of return, you think about, that's X percent. That's what is going to generate, dividends or rate of return. That's what I get. But then that a lot of people get that confused.
Right. Yeah. The percentage of payout on their money is really where I focus for clients. Now, I want to just kind of give you the little bit of a theory on that, is that the people who really understand this stuff very, very deeply are the actuaries. And actuaries work at insurance companies, investment companies, they work for the government. And these people, like when you say, well, what investment advisor should I use? Where should I put my money to invest and that kind of thing? Well, that's all well and good. But again, that should be the second stage, right? We want to build that actuarial table where you have guaranteed income for the rest of your life, right? That would be so the people who know how to do that, the experts, are the actuaries. I'm not an actuary, but I follow what they say. I study what they do and all that kind of thing. But the investment advisors are just say, look, let's put it here. We're going to get a good rate of return. But when we try to talk about the concept of income preparation and making sure we've got that basic nut for the rest of our lives, the actuaries are the ones that I think I urge people to understand those concepts. They're very, very powerful.
Yep. That's pretty big. And we've talked about taxes, inflation, and longevity. What are some of the core strategies that people need to be thinking about to be aware about? Because I think that we don't need to know how to do it. We just need to know when we do work with that financial professional, I'm tracking with what they're saying. So at least I need to understand what these strategies are.
Right. Well, again, it depends where you are in your progression towards retirement. If you're in your 30s, 40s, and maybe early 50s, you're thinking accumulation, and rate of return at that juncture is definitely important, and you want to build up assets and not lose and protect. But when you start to get into your mid-50s and 60s, and you're really starting to think, the retirement is on the horizon, you want to make that shift towards more fixed products that have what the actuaries call life expectancy credits. I've talked about these on other podcasts, and certainly we won't get into that here. The listeners can listen to these other podcasts and explain what life expectancy credits are. But that is the, I guess, the missing link, you could say, that people don't use. And it is probably, in my estimation, the most powerful factor to use towards generating income for your retirement and for the rest of your life. This is what's called life expectancy credits. And they are used in certain types of annuities called life expectancy annuities. And not every carrier has that. Most annuities don't have this. And so I'm not saying annuities is the answer for everything, but it's going to build you a very, very strong base that is like creating a pension. It is not a pension. It's your own money. We want to be clear about that, but it has the same effect as your defined benefit pension if you work for the government or a large corporation. And these are very powerful tools that people can utilize.
So, Jay, even so far, we've talked about several things that I think our listeners would say are kind of aha moments, like, I didn't know about this IRMA thing, and I didn't realize that up to 85% of my Social Security can be taxed, and that might diminish my, you know, the money I get out of Social Security. These are some of the, and tax credits, it's all of these, or life expectancy credits, it's all of these like aha moments that make me think someone out there is going, how come I haven't heard of this before? So why don't the majority of people get this kind of advice from their financial professionals that they rely on?
Mike, that's a great, great question. It's probably one of the most important questions, that you can ask when people are looking for ideas on how to retire. The answer is, I don't know. I know what I do. I know my research that I've done, my education and my experience and what I work with. I can't speak for other people, other professionals. But you do have a lot of investment advisors out there that, they want that long-term, what's called asset under management, AUM. There's fees associated with that for a long, long period of time. There's a lot of money that's taken out of your money to pay to the advisors that you use. Even if they're charging you 0.7%, there's other hidden fees in there. And at the end of the day, that's what they're shooting for. They want to build up their book of business to sell it and make a lot of money. That's kind of the model that many, many, many investment advisors out there are using. All these other factors really, talk to your accountant about taxes, talk to an insurance professional about this or that. It's just, you want to know the big picture, and, accountants are basically, my dad was an accountant, they're historians, they look at last year. Right now, we just finished up, the last year's tax return, and that's what they do. They look at, April 15th, you're looking at the year prior. You have your insurance people with the dinner seminars that are selling annuities because of the zero is my hero concept. You can't lose any money. In my opinion, it's the wrong reason to buy an annuity. Annuities are for income generation, and they are extremely powerful for that end. Anything else, I would stay away. But there's all vested interests there. There's all ideas that, but what I look for is empirical information. What is guaranteed, because that ultimately is what's going to, save you or save an individual from a calamity, a potential calamity. If the stock market crashes and you're using that to generate income, that's going to be a tough day at the office. It's going to be hard to, so if you listen to your investment advisor say, hang on and that kind of thing, it's all great. But income generation is the name of the game, for my clients.
Makes total sense. So what would you say to someone who is now thinking, I wonder how prepared I am? How do I know I'm headed toward a safe retirement with all these potential hiccups and bumps and roadblocks?
Right. A great question, too. The only way that I know how to do that, I've built a massive financial calculator that takes all of that into an account. I don't know another way to do it. Otherwise, I would have devised it or invented it or something. But what I do is I look at interest credit cards you have, mortgages, your savings, how much you're saving, the fees you're paying, inflation, you know, do you have life insurance or not? What is the purpose of the life insurance, disability, your budget, many, many things. And so if you really want to do a thorough job, this is what I recommend. Now, a lot of people say, you know, they don't have the time or the interest to do it. We can get to the heart of the matter and get to the meat on the bone, if you will, more quickly with my software. But, you know, a thorough job is really what's indicated, because as I say in the name of my company, Deep Dive Retirement, the devil is in the details. They really are. If you're not looking at these things and monitoring them, you're going to be possibly in for some rude surprises, and maybe multiple rude surprises down the road that you didn't see. And that's really the focus of what I do, is help people look into the future, not from the standpoint of what am I going to earn on my investments? Because we don't know. Nobody knows. If anybody says they know, I'd really, really question that. Put it in writing. I say, tell your investment advisor to put that in writing, and they can't by law, right? So that's the thing. If you're just doing piecemeal here or there, you want to interview who you're working with thoroughly and ask, are you looking at all the factors that the road bumps that I could have down the road, and what is your plan to solve them? Another one is long-term care. What happens if you don't have long-term care protection and you get sick or your spouse gets sick? And, you know, do you have something in place to cover that using somebody else's money? And there's different ways to do that. So I know I'm going on and on a little bit here, but there's a lot to go on and on about.
But it's all surrounding potential pitfalls that many times people do not consider that can derail your access to cash in retirement. So it's all really zeroed in really well here. There's been so many aha moments for me that I've heard here. So Jay, I would just say, if someone is curious and maybe interested in having a second opinion or having you take a look at their situation, what's the best way that they can reach out and connect with you?
Well, sure. First of all, if you have an email that has this recording, you can respond to that. The email address is deepdiveretirement@gmail.com, deepdiveretirement@gmail.com. I use Gmail because when I travel, it's just easy to log in and answer emails quickly rather than have my own domain name using that. So it's that way. The telephone number is 602-448-0263, 602-448-0263. deepdiveretirement.com. You can contact me that way, or just use one of those methods and we'll set up a discovery call. There's never a charge or anything like that. And we'll really dive into your particular situation, and I can give you some thoughts and opinions about it.
Excellent. Jay, thank you so much for coming on. It's been a real pleasure talking with you today.
Well, Mike, thanks for having me. And hopefully this helps people that are really serious about securing their retirement. I wish you the best of luck. Thank you.
You've been listening to Influential Entrepreneurs with Mike Saunders. To learn more about the resources mentioned on today's show or listen to past episodes, visit www.influentialentrepreneursradio.com.